David is running again in Psalm 71. This is not new to David. For David had really never had a home like most people have. It seems that most of his life he had been running. He ran in his youth from Saul. He ran in his mid-years from Absalom. And now as an old man, he's running again from another one of his sons. David is older now. He's at the age where he should be wintering in Florida. He's at the age where he should be casting in a trout stream in Colorado or playing shuffleboard in St. Petersburg or having his house shoes brought while little grandchildren play at his feet. This is the age that our text finds David this morning. And yet there he is, hiding in the rocks and sleeping in caves. He stands amidst the rocks and watches the enemy beneath, searching for David to take his life. He ends a day of leaping like wild goats in the den of a mountain where he sleeps. And after a lifetime of running, after a lifetime of homelessness, after a lifetime of not having the normal comforts in a home, David runs. And somewhere in those dens and caves of the mountainside, somewhere on those jagged edges of the hills, looking down over the houses that lay beneath in the valley, David writes the 71st Psalm. One of the statements that he makes in Psalm 71 is something like this: "The Lord is my habitation and my continual resort." I want you to notice the first thing he said: "The Lord is my habitation." Now I want you to listen for a while. This is a mixed up old world today. I mean, everybody's confused except a few of us, honestly. And everybody that's confused thinks we're the ones confused. They come to us and say, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel, Hiles? Are you he that troubles America?" Nope. It's you. The dirty playboy philosophy. The permissive society. The adult bookstores. The streaking mob and God pity Morton High School right here in our own city. If they don't have enough courage to kick those kids out of school, I hope God will burn the place down. No, it's not us troubling Israel, brother. It's the devil and his emissaries. But David makes a startling statement. Running, hiding, sleeping in rocks and dens and the jagged edges of the mountainside, David says, "God is my habitation. God is my habitation." I think I know what he meant. Maybe he was looking at noonday to the valley. He saw the cottages and little village beneath the mountains. Maybe David saw the children running and playing around the edge of the cottage and saw the activity, of the day's schedule in the cottage. And David had no home like that. David had no family like that. And David said, "God is my house. God is my home." Maybe it was at nighttime, and David saw the flickering of lights and the flickering of candles as they shone through the windows, and David smelt the warmth, or smelt the fresh cooking of a meal, and the freshly cooked meal, and David sees the husband coming in at night, and David looks down and sees maybe a little village, and there he is about to make his bed once again, the den of a mountain, and David says, "God is my habitation. God is my house. God is my home." And after a lifetime of running, may I say this morning, ladies and gentlemen, home is not a building. Home is not a building. I was thinking last night, my mother and I lived in 17 houses. When I got my diploma from high school, a 17-year-old lad, I had lived in 17 houses and apartments in those 17 years. But I was always at home. It didn't matter whether we lived at 2523 Britton Street or 3936 Denny Drive or 1532 Exeter or 2624 Idaho. It didn't matter. We had the same old round red chair we always had. We had the same picture on the wall of a wolf looking out over a vast empty space. Mama was always there. Mama's Bible was always there. Home is not a house. Home is not a building. Home is an atmosphere. David said, God is my habitation. What a place to live. David didn't have a house to sleep in that night, but he had the best place of all to live. David said, God is my house. God is my habitation. For many years now, for many years, I've slept in motel rooms across this country, night after night after night. I sleep in so many different beds, I never know where I am. I told our people I slept in four different beds, in four different motels, in four different cities, in four different states, not long ago, 1 week. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Well, Thursday night, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I got up to go to the bathroom, and I didn't know where I was. I slept in four different beds, four different states, four different motels, four straight nights. So I stood up beside the bed, and I said, now, where's the bathroom? And you know how you are. Sort of a dumb-looking feeling comes over you. Don't know where in the world you are, and you can't open your eyes. And if you do open your eyes, you wake up and can't go back to sleep when you get back in bed. So you want to go with your eyes shut. If you did open your eyes, there's nothing to see. And so I stood there, and I said, now, where am I? And then suddenly it dawned on me. You go down this way about four steps, and you turn to the right. There's a little hallway there, and the bathroom's over there. And I had it all figured out, except that was the layout of the third night instead of the fourth night. I didn't realize it, but the fourth night where I stayed, you turn left to go to the bathroom. But I thought it was the third night, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning. So I went down four steps and turned right to go down the hallway, but there was no hallway there. All there was a little table on which you put your luggage, and so I tripped over the table. And as I was falling, I reached out and I grabbed the cover. And I pulled the cover over me, and I tried to keep from falling with the cover, and then tried to get out of the cover and rolled myself up in the cover. And there my head was, way down somewhere between the blanket and the bedspread and the sheet that was on top, and I couldn't get out. And I said, Lord, where am I? Where am I? And that's the way it's been. But here's one thing about it. It doesn't matter. I may be in a motel in Los Angeles, California, or it may be a little place beside the ocean in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Did you know the Bible is always there? And God's presence is always there. And Psalm 23 still says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm glad a long time ago I learned to live in Christ and not just visit Him every once in a while. I'm glad a long time ago I learned that the Lord is my habitation. The Lord, David said, I don't have a place to sleep tonight in a warm home, but God is my habitation. I don't have a warm bed to sleep in tonight, but God is my habitation. And I won't sit around the table tonight and eat a warm meal, but God is my habitation. And I won't know what it is to have the grandchildren bring my house shoes tonight, but God is my habitation. Yes, He is this morning, all over this nation, all over this nation this morning. Preachers stand up. And they pray prayers like this, or deacons. They say, Dear Lord, we come into Thy presence this morning. I used to have a deacon in East Texas prayed that every Sunday morning. Lord, we come into Thy presence. And one day I asked him when he got through this prayer, and I said, Where have you been all week? Where have you been all week? We come into Thy presence. Not me. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be unkind. I don't mean to brag. I don't mean to be cocky. But I didn't just come into God's presence this morning. I've been living there all week. I'm not much preacher, but I tell you what, I know where I live. I know my address. I know my house. I know my habitation. And I can say this morning with David, though my head goes to sleep on different pillows almost every night, I can say with David, Hallelujah, blessed be God, the Lord is my habitation. The Lord is my habitation. That's one reason why I'm so informal. That's one reason why we didn't come in this morning in the choir saying, Amen, 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 amen. Oh, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. You say, making fun of my church. Yep, you guessed it. The first service of the whole week. The first service. Yeah, that's one reason why we sing, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." That's one reason why we sing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Well, you say we sing that on Sunday morning. Okay, then confess your sins this week and sing. I mean, Sunday night. Say we sing on Sunday night. Confess your sins. Start singing it Sunday morning next week when you get back home. That's why I'm informal. You know why? Because I know the Lord. I've been with Him all week. I don't have to come and act like I'm a stranger. Dr. John Rice was praying one day out in New Jersey. He's praying in the morning in a service in a sword conference, and he said, Oh Father, help us. And then a little later on in the prayer, he said, "Dear Jesus, we love you." And later on in the prayer, he said, "Oh Holy Spirit, breathe on us." And I was standing at the altar, and some fella came up after the service and said, "Dr. Rice, could I straighten you out on your theology?" I'd rather wrestle two tigers in a zoo. he said, "You might try." And he said, "You said this in your prayer tonight. You prayed to the Father, and then you prayed to Jesus, then you prayed to the Holy Spirit. He said the way you're supposed to do it is you come to the Father through the Son in the power of the Spirit." And Dr. Rice said, "Well," he said, "that may be okay for you. But," he said, "I'm in the family. I just pray to whichever one shows up first." See, that's one reason why you have to act like a stranger when you come to God, because you're not with God all week long. But David said, "The Lord." That's why David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's why David could write the beautiful beauties of the Psalms. "The Lord is my pavilion. He's my strength. He's my high tower." That's why we're not very formal around here, because we teach our people to abide in Christ. Not just visit every once in a while, but to abide in Christ. Look at the general there. Look at his uniform. Look at that general of the army. Look at the buttons. Look at the stars on his shoulders. Look at the boots shine to a high gloss. That general armies tremble at the thought of his name. The safety of a nation is in his hands. But wait a minute. I see a little urchin kid running up and jumping up in his lap and patting him on the cheek. "Hey, kid! Hey! That's a general of the army. That's one of the most important men in this whole nation. Our nation's security rests in his hands, and other nations and armies tremble at the thought of his name and the speaking of his name. Hey! Don't jump on his lap. That's not reverent." "Yes," he says, "it is. He's my daddy. He's my daddy." Yeah, if he's your daddy, you can pat his cheek. Other little children around here may say, "Hello, Brother Hiles." But Cindy doesn't have to say that. She says, "Daddy, can I ride home with you tonight? She's my girl. She's my baby. She hasn't worried, and I'm in the family of God. I live there." People say, "When you come into God's presence, you ought to be more reverent." Well, I'd be reverent all the time, because I'm always in the Lord's presence. I live there. And David said, could say on the side of a mountain, "The Lord is my habitation. The Lord is my habitation." And no wonder the Bible says, "Abide in me." Lord doesn't say visit in me. He says abide in me. He doesn't say come to see me occasionally. Abide in me. And that word abide in John 15. Did you know, brethren, that word abide in John 15 comes from the same root word of the word mansion in John 14? "In my Father's house are many mansions." And in John 15, it says abide in me. What it really says is mansion in me. What God is saying is this: sure, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to a city that hath foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. I'm looking for the city, and I long for a place that's called heaven, the home of the pure and the free, a haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. And if Jesus came at 3 o'clock this afternoon, that'd be too late for me. I want to go to heaven, and I want all the sins and cancer and heartache and sickness and disease and filth and vulgarity. I want it all aside, and I want to see Him. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to wait till heaven to have a little heaven. You can live in heaven now and have heaven live with you now. That's what John Peterson meant when he said, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." And that's what Fanny Crosby meant when she said, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." With this old country needs a few Christian people who live live in Christ, to abide in Christ, who can say with David, when he's an old man, when he should have been sitting beside the fire, warming his feet at night and reading himself to sleep with the grandchildren, putting on his house shoes, David says, I've been running all day. No place to sleep tonight, but the Lord is my habitation. But there's a second sweet thought there. The Lord not only is my habitation, He's also my resort. He's my resort. Look, if you would please, at the judge. Look at that judge, that man of power. Here's a judge before whom prisoners tremble and courts are hushed. People rise when he enters the room. And the attorney who speaks to him always addresses him, Your Honor. There's a little boy at home waiting for him at night. When that judge walks in, takes off his robe, he walks in. Little boy sits on his knee, and the little judge goes, Ride, little horse, said London town. Ride, little horse, said don't go downtown. Ride, little horse, said don't you fall down, little boy. You know why? That's his boy. But my God made the world, but I'm his boy, and I come and talk to him. I live there. I live there. And the Lord is my habitation. But then, not only is the Lord our habitation, David says, He's my resort. He's my day off. He's my vacation. He's my resort. I was out in Colorado. A fellow walked up to me and said, Hey, Dr. Hiles, would you have lunch with me tomorrow? And I felt like I should. Don't do it often, but felt like I should. He got me in a beautiful car and drove me up into the Colorado mountains. And the car was winding around the mountains and the valleys and so forth through a gorge. Then he took me up a little winding road, and right beside a beautiful mountain stream, there was a beautiful little cottage overlooking the mountain stream. And he said, This is my resort. Here's where I go when I get tired and weary. Nobody knows where I am. This is my resort. I was in the state of Tennessee, and the fellow said, Let me take you and show you some good fishing. Well, I didn't have time to fish, but he said, I'll feed you some fish. Well, I had time to eat, and so I went out, and he took me up in a hill, and there's a little river there, and there's a cabin beside the river in a lonely spot, nobody within miles of there. He said, This is my resort. This is where I go when I get tired and weary. I was in Florida, and a fellow took me out and showed me a boat. It must have been a $10,000 boat or more. I'm not sure how much it cost, but it had a living room and a dining room and a couple of bedrooms and a kitchen. He said, This is my resort. This is my resort. Well, let me ask you a question. Where can the poor college student go this morning that barely can pay his bill? Where you go for resort? Where can the poor college student go this morning at Hiles Anderson who washes the walls or washes dishes or waits on tables and barely can make his meal? Doesn't he ever get tired, Doc? He gets as tired as the fellow in Colorado who has a cabin beside the mountain stream. He gets as tired as the man in Tennessee, or tireder. He gets as tired as the man in Tennessee who has his little cottage beside the river. He gets as tired as the man in Florida who has his boathouse. Where can he go? Blessed be God. Hallelujah! There's a place where everybody can go and find resort and comfort when you get tired and weary. Let me tell you something. The Lord didn't say, They that go to a mountain stream cottage shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. They said, They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. And David could say, I can't take a vacation. I don't have a place to sleep tonight. But the Lord is my habitation and my resort. The Lord is my home and also my vacation. He's my resort. Where can the poor college student go? Where can that young married man go who's here, goes to college at 8 o'clock in the morning and gets off at 1 o'clock and goes out the steel mills and works all night long? I was down in Tennessee in a service, and a father called me off, and I'm going to tell a story here that his son doesn't know yet. Father called me off and said, Dr. Hiles, I'm worried about my son. And I said, Why? He said, He's in Hiles Anderson College. I said, As long as he's there, don't you worry about him. Because when he gets really worried about him, he'll be on his way home. And he said, Well, no, but he said, I sent him to college. He said, I'm a man of some means. I'm an engineer. I want to pay my boy's way through college. And he said, My boy went to Hiles Anderson College. And he wrote home after a few months, and he said, Dad, don't send me any more money. I want to make it on my own. He said, I'm worried about him. And I just laughed while I worried. He said, My boy is going to school in the daytime. He goes to Montgomery Ward at 9 o'clock at night, works all night long, gets off at 6 o'clock in the morning. He says, I'm worried about him. And I said, "Mister, you go home and get in your prayer closet after the service and get on your face and bow your head and thank God for that kind of a boy. And then shout, 'Praise God for my boy. He has character and decency. Thank God for him.'" But where's that boy going to go when he gets tired? He can't afford a mountain cabin. He doesn't have a little log cabin beside a river. He doesn't have a boathouse in Florida. Where can he go? He can go to Jesus. David said, "The Lord is my habitation and my resort." But where can that little widow go? Where can the little widow this morning here, many of them here this morning, God bless every one of them. One fellow said one time when I first started preaching, said, "Always make friends with the young people and the old ladies." And I said, "Why?" He said, "The young people can talk their moms and dads to kicking you out of the church, and the old ladies on the telephone can talk you out of the church." That's not the way it is here. It's the young ladies on the telephone with the old ladies here. No, not the way it is here. There's not a sweeter group of folks in this church than the dear widows. I look at them every Sunday and thank God for them. But don't they get tired sometimes? Oh, of course they do. Doesn't Aunt Lou get tired every once in a while? Where can she go for a vacation? Where can these dear ladies who make a few dollars a month on a pension and just barely make ends meet, don't they ever get weary? Yesterday, Mrs. Bartell's in my office, God bless her, and I shouldn't have called her name. But she, you know how she makes a living? Praying. Praying. She goes to some lady, person that's an invalid or something. She stays in their house, doesn't cost, doesn't charge a thing, just whatever they want to give her. And she says, "All I ask you to do is give me a room to pray where I can just pray and pray and pray when I have my time off." Doesn't have anything but a little pension. She came in yesterday and gave me over $160 to give to college students that are having trouble. I don't know when she's had a new dress. Where does she go when she gets tired? We found a resort that beats the cabins on the mountainsides. The Lord is my resort. And the Bible still says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It's still in the Bible. The Lord is my resort. Where do the mission men go? These men, many of them, boys, girls back in the back, you sit still while I'm preaching. Where do these mission men go? Mission man told me the other day, I think he said it's been 20 years since he'd seen his daughter. 20 years. Where do they go when they get tired? Where do the retarded people go? These poor people that can't hold down jobs and the pathfinders, retarded people that come. Where do they go when they get tired and weary? Where can the steel mill workers go that barely make ends meet out here at the steel mill? Where can they go? Their resort is in the Lord. Where can the bus kid go? Those little kids this morning, even now, riding buses from all over the great Chicago area. And their mothers and dads are as wicked as the devil, many of them. They have nobody to love them. They get home this morning. They won't have anybody to say, "What did you learn in Sunday school today?" Where can they go? I wish folks could learn one thing. And I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I mean it. I know it. This is not something. Listen, I knew this before I found this verse. I know this is true. If the Bible never said it, I know it's true. I know that a person can find all the joy in this world he needs and the peace that passeth understanding if he'll just live with Christ all the time. Just live with Christ all the time. Abide in me. Abide in me. Abide in me. And I also know this. I know that your resort, your day off, your renewing, your vacation, your strength, your cabin in the mountain can be Jesus. My resort. I know. People say, "How do you make it? How do you make it?" The Lord and 7 grain bread. That's how I make it. How do you do it? I found a place where you can have a resort. How do you get refreshed? I just go to my resort. People say, well, the house, when you get tired and weary, what do? I have a special resort where I go. Where is it? Isaiah 40:31 is a mighty good little room in that resort place. Philippians 4:13 is a mighty good spot. Philippians 4:19 is a mighty good little place to resort. You say,
you play golf on Monday?
No, I used to.
Why'd you quit?
Made me nervous.
Say, for the house, I got to play golf on Monday so I can get over the nervousness of preaching on the peace of God on Sunday.
When I used to play golf, I had to preach on Tuesday to get over the nervousness of the golf game on Monday. No, the honest truth is, all the strength you need, you can find in Him. Strength for today is mine all the way. And all that I need for tomorrow. All kinds of people come to this church. You men don't know this. There are folks in this room this morning that don't know if they'll be here next Sunday or not. Because eating away inside their body is a malignancy. You don't know this. But there are folks in this church this morning who don't know where their children are. There are folks sitting in this room right now who have grown boys. They don't even know where they live. They give all the money they have and all their possessions for one letter, with a return address on it so they'd know where the boy is. You don't know this. There are people in this room right now who have daughters who've been stolen and taken away, and they don't know where the daughters are. They sit here this morning. That's one reason why we laugh a lot. That's one reason why I tell about stumbling over the table on the way to the restroom. Because the only joy they have, many of them, only laughter they ever know, is right here in this auditorium. There are people this morning who wonder, where's my girl? Haven't seen her for weeks and weeks and months and months, and no letter comes. Where's my girl? I mean, they're here this morning. In God's name, I say to you folks again, as I've said before, there is strength in God, and there is a home in God, and there is resort in God, and there is refreshment in God. And that's why we come this morning, as we do week after week, and just say, He's the answer. He's the answer. He's the answer. How can I take it? How can I take it? For the house? They put their heads on my desk and say, how can I take it? A parent put her head on my mother, put her head on my desk this week and said, how can I take it? How can I take it? My baby girl, how can I take it? Well, just take off a little while and go to a resort. They say, I can't afford one. I got one I can show you. Amen. Right here. The Lord is my habitation. The Lord is my resort. And He's what you're looking for this morning if you have a hungry heart. This old world is just looking for Jesus, that's all. These ignorant kids running out here naked. God pity them. And God pity the cowardly administrators who allow it. And God pity the teachers that let them do it. I'll guarantee you one thing. One of the Hiles Anderson College students that streak across the campus naked, he'll streak all the way home naked because he won't get back to get his clothes. I'll let him for sure. So what would you do if one of the students at Hiles Anderson streaked? I don't know whether I'd use a machine gun or a billy club with a nail in the end of it. But you know what they're wanting? They're trying to find a thrill. But they're looking for the thrill that ends and overshadows all other thrills. They just don't know it. They don't know it. These poor kids. Little girl came to my office the other day, 16 years of age, married, was on dope for years. And she's found Jesus in our church, and she had a smile on her face, and a little sign up here said, "Try Jesus," was on her dress. And not a lot of money, and just a 16-year-old girl already married. But she's found the answer. God is marvelous that it'll deliver her. She's found the answer. This morning, whatever you need is, you'll find the answer is Jesus. As you've heard said so often, if you're lonely and you've lost, He's the way. And if you're lonely, He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And if you're afraid, He's the one that says, "Fear not." He's what you're looking for this morning. Do you know Him today? I'll close with this. It's been now 36 years since a little barefooted boy knelt outside the church building in Dallas, Texas, and said yes to Jesus. For 28 wonderful, blessed years, I've been preaching about Him. I've been stubborn, but I never have one time hedged on Jesus. Never have. I've made some mistakes, but I've never turned my back on Him, and I've never been ashamed of Him, and I've stood for Him. And I know, some folks say, "Hal thinks He's the only one." No, I don't know. I don't think I'm the only one. I don't know any others, but I don't think I'm the only one. No, I don't either. But for 28 years, I've been preaching Him. And this is the truth, and I say it honestly. And I don't like to say things casually that I don't mean. I mean this. I want to see Him. I want to see Him. And I think every morning when I wake up, I go to the window and look out and quote the psalmist who said, "I shall be satisfied when I awaken thy likeness." And if He's not come yet, I'm not satisfied. I want to see Him. But blessed be God, if I don't get to see Him today, I'm going to still be with Him today. He's my home, my habitation, and my resort. He's all you need. He's all you need. See, "Well, the house, I'm nervous." He'll calm your nerves. "Well, the house, I'm lonely." He'll be a friend that'll never leave you nor forsake you. "Well, the house, I'm scared. I'm afraid about the gasoline shortage." I'm not afraid about the shortage. I'm afraid about the money shortage. Can't afford the gasoline. "Well, the house, I'm worried about the famine that's on its way." It's not so bad. I lived through one. The Depression days. Let me tell you something. There'll never be a shortage of God's presence and God's power. There'll never be a famine of God's presence, of God's love, and God's compassion. Are you living in Him today? The Lord is my habitation and my resort. He's my Monday through Friday, and He's my weekend trip. He's my 50 weeks a year and my 2-week vacation. He's my 6 days of work and my Sabbath. He's my strength to work and my resort to renew my strength. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. As A.B. Simpson said, "Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus. And Jesus is everything." Comfort yourself, dear hearts. Rest yourself. Don't fret. He who spoke and worlds danced across the heavens is my habitation and my resort. He can be, and He wants to be yours. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please?